This is a lot of silence. I can explain. I recently changed computers and lost my intro music. I will get it back by the next episode. But this is the comeback episode of the CD Space podcast. I am the CD. One day, maybe, I'll tell you what the CD stands for. But until then, this is the CD Space. And hopefully that was enough time to fill in for the intro music. But here we go. I have been offline for months. Life has been bloody crazy. But I am attempting to pull things together. And here I am again. And I have a lot of good stuff for you. I will start out with a song. This is Rob Coslow. He can be found on jamendo.com, jamendo.com. I've mentioned it before, but he is an incredible pianist. He composes his own stuff. Right now, I'm just going to play the song. I'll talk about it afterwards.
Thank you.
and that was Rob Coslow. That was his piece called Goodbyes off his second album, which he ironically titled Sophomore Jinx. A lot of artists, when they are first starting out, they release their first one and it's widely accepted. They release their second album and for some reason, I am not sure why, it flops. The second sophomore album often flops, and they try new things with their second album, they try to be who they are, and it jinxes them, and they totally die out of the entire scene. So, it's slightly ironic that Rob Coslow called his second album Sophomore Jinx. And, needless to say, if you've been on Jamendo, his sophomore album did not jinx him. He has come out with a third, Reconstruction, which I believe is even better. It has, I don't know, it's all acoustic piano. I don't know if you'd call it a remix, but it has a re-recording of one of his previous tracks, a lot of new stuff, and at the end of this cast, I will play something off his third album, Reconstruction, which I'm a programmer. I am under a lot of stress, under deadlines, getting these impossible bugs fixed, and I have a playlist set up with a lot of fast and loud music, a lot of kind of ballad music, and some relaxing kind of just get in the zone music. Part of that get in the zone music is Rob Coslow, and let me tell you, it works. And with this third album, there are a lot of tracks which really help me get in the zone and program. And I don't hear the music, but I program, and the music somehow helps that. And at the end of the cast, I will play one of those songs. But you will have to keep listening to hear one of those. Let's move on. This is the comeback episode of the CD Space podcast, and I mentioned at the first that I have a lot of stuff for you. First of all, we had Rob Coslow on Jamendo.com. Second of all, The Haunting in Connecticut. This is a cast which reviews any and every media I have seen in the past week. But in the past week, well, in the past month or so, because I've been offline for 6, 8, I don't know, months. But I have seen a movie, The Haunting in Connecticut. Now, I have seen a lot of horror movies. A lot of them are very cookie-cutter. What I mean by that is the plot of the horror, I mean, you watch these people in the movies, and you think to yourself, this person is in a horror movie. They should know not to go upstairs and lock themselves in the closet, because whatever is after them is going to bloody find them. I mean, there are horror movie stereotypes which almost all horror movies follow. There are a very select few which break the mold. I will start off by saying the Saw series started off very good, in the middle kind of floundered, but Saw 5 wrapped 3 and 4 up perfectly. Saw 1 was incredible. I mean, it is the only horror thriller that had me hyperventilating at the end. And I have seen a lot of horror thrillers, so that says a lot about Saw 1. Saw 2 threw a lot of stuff into the story, but it didn't complete the story. It made it more complete, but you still had questions. So, in that respect, it was good, but not great. Saw 3 and 4, I would say, didn't answer any questions. They might have answered one, maybe two questions from the first two movies, but they left open so much in the third and fourth movies. But the Saw 5, the fifth movie, it wrapped up all the questions left from the previous four movies. It was an awesome movie. It wrapped everything up. And I don't know where they can go from here with the Saw series, but I hope to see a Saw 6. But back onto the point, The Haunting of Connecticut. I watch a lot of horror movies. I am very disappointed by most of them because they are cookie cutter. They are stereotypical. You can, if you've seen enough, you can predict what's going to happen. Never seeing the movie, you know what's going to happen. But The Haunting of Connecticut, it follows the stereotype to a certain point. And then it runs off into a nice little tangent, which comes back to the stereotype. So, in that respect at least, it is a good movie. It has some original ideas, but not original enough to make it unique. But I don't want to give away the ending. All I will say is The Haunting in Connecticut is not cookie cutter. You can watch it through to the last 20 minutes, and you'll be thinking to yourself, this is a stupid movie. I've seen this in The Ring, in Saw, in the Amityville Horror. I've seen all this stuff happen before. What is going on? I know what's going to happen. But then they throw in like 4 plot twists, and it's incredible. If you pay attention to horror movies enough, you will see what's going on. Otherwise, you might have to watch it a couple times. And it is good enough that watching it a couple times is okay, because it is a good movie. I am promoting this movie, The Haunting in Connecticut. I would say watch the unrated version. It isn't put in all that much to support the plot, but it's enough to support the characters. And that is what a story is about, really. It's partly the plot, it's partly the characters. The characters support the plot supports the characters, and they both have to be strong. And the unrated version builds up the characters, which builds up the plot, and by the last 20 minutes, everything just... When you're watching the movie, the last 20 minutes, you are just bombarded by revelation after revelation, and you see and you realize how the entire movie was put together and how everything in the movie happened. And I just think it's an incredible movie. Yes, it seems cookie cutter, but you have to watch it. That's all I'm going to say about that. I will include a link to the IMDb page for The Haunting in Connecticut. Be very careful. I do not want you to read any spoilers about the movie. Do not look at the images. Do not look at the videos. Get the basic plot. Decide if you like this kind of horror movie, and then go rent it. Watch the movie. That's all I'm saying. Now, we will move on. I have an incredible finish at the end, but we'll move on to games. As I said earlier, I review all types of media I have seen in the past week. Movies, music, videos, online, blogs, podcasts, and I will include games. So this week, I am including the game Army of 2. Now, this game was built, was constructed, was designed with 2 players in mind. You can play by yourself on this game, and the computer, the PlayStation 3, which I think it's on. I don't know if it's on the 360. I will check that and include an update in the cast notes. But Army of 2 is built for 2 players. If you play as 1 player, the computer, whatever system you have, I'll give you an update on that in the cast notes. The console, whichever one it happens to be playing on, I'm not entirely sure which one, again, included in the cast notes, controls the other player. You can control the player, it has certain abilities and weapons and whatnot, like most 2-player games, and the computer controls the other one. Now, in this game, you both go into this firefight scenario on most levels, and one player draws all the fire, what they call aggro in the game. They draw all the attention from all the enemies, and then the person who doesn't have the attention can sneak around and sneak up behind people and shoot them all, and take them out. Now, also in this game, you can set the computer player to either take the aggro or go behind all the enemies and kill them as you, as the player, take the aggro. On either setting for this, the computer sucks. The computer will not take the aggro. The computer will not move forward and take out the enemies. It takes a lot of discipline and experience with the game to be able to control the computer to take the aggro, and the computer will not position itself in the right spot to take the aggro so you can sneak behind the enemies and kill them. So you have to lure the computer, your comrade player, into the right position, set him to take the aggro, and it's just a hell of a lot of work. It's like babysitting a child to lead him into gunfire so you can go take out the enemies. It sounds kind of wrong, but that's what it is. The computer is a child. And if you set the computer to go take out the enemies as you take the aggro as the player, the computer won't do it. The computer sucks. Now, the selling point of this game is it's built for two players. Also, I will add that at the moment when I bought it a couple of weeks ago, it was $20. A PS3 game for $20, you really can't beat it. And a new PS3 game is $60. Go out, buy it. It's a third of the normal price. It's really not throwing away money. If you have any friend that can come over with a controller and play with you, it's great. But playing with a computer sucks. Now, this game was built for two players. Mostly built for two players online through the Electronic Arts Network. I recently attempted this online with a friend. In the game is built-in VoIP, voice over IP. And with the Electronic Arts VoIP and two players online, the lag is so horrible that you do not know what you're even seeing in the game. This game, online, with a friend, yes, it's built for two players, it's meant for this, but online with a friend, no, it sucks. Do not try it. If you can get a friend to come over and play this game with you, then yes, by all means, buy it, get the extra controller, it's a great game. It's cooperative warfare, it's incredible. It's not like some of the other online war games where you're part of a team but kind of acting as yourself. This is built for two players collaborating and strategizing, and it's a very well-built game if the two players can communicate. Online, two-player sucks because you cannot communicate, you cannot move, the lag sucks. But I will say this. The game, if you have two players in the same room, on the same console, split screen, it's a great game. Go out and buy it. $20, what do you got to lose? If all you have is friends online to play this game, then you're going to blow $20, they're going to blow $20, and neither of you are going to have fun. But it is a great game. Go out and buy it if and only if you have someone who can come over to your place and play it with you. And in that case, you can both only blow $10, and you have the game, you have a good 3 or 4 nights of playing it, depends on how much you play, but you only blow $10. If you're playing online only, then that's $40 total that both of you blow. And all I want to say is do not buy this to play it online. That's why I bought it, and it sucks. Buy this to play it in-house with friends, and that's what it was made for. Online sucks. In-house, same console, split screen, great. $10 a friend. Or if you have several friends that all want to play it, say you have 3 friends and you and a friend want to play and go finish the game, and your other 2 friends want 4 friends, you can split it. $5 each. That's a pack of cigarettes. Go out, buy it, if you can get them all to come over. Otherwise, do not. Lastly, moving on to my last point, I am at about 20-22 minutes. My last point, my biggest point. I have mentioned this before. J.C. Hutchins. Go check out his website, jchutchins.com. No, that's .net. jchutchins.net. .com is some furniture maker, I think. jchutchins.net. He originally started online. His first released work was the Seventh Son Trilogy. If you've listened to any of the previous casts of the CD Space, you know I love the Seventh Son. I love J.C. Hutchins. Don't take it wrong. But J.C. Hutchins is an incredible author. J.C. Hutchins, along with Jordan Weisman, have recently published a print book called Personal Effects Dark Art. Now, this is not the ordinary novel that you would find on the shelves. This is not Dean Koontz. This is not Dan Brown. This is not even Scott Sigler. I am sorry, Sigler. I really apologize. I love your work. But J.C. Hutchins and Jordan Weisman have published in print something that I'm sure Sigler will get into eventually, because Sigler is awesome, as is Hutchins, and I will give a short plug to Mer Lafferty with her Playing for Keeps, also released as a free audio book and came out in print later. Great book, great story, but that will be in a later cast. But J.C. Hutchins, Jordan Weisman, Personal Effects, Dark Art. This is a novel like no other. They're calling it Transmedia Publishing. Now, you go buy the book. If you go to the bookstore and find this, it's very hardback. Very hardback. Not like something you would normally see. I mean, this is almost wood. Very stiff cardboard. If you find one not wrapped in plastic, do not buy it. I will tell you why. Personal Effects Dark Arts comes with a book, a paperback, and also the personal effects of one of the main characters in the story. The incredibly hard hardback contains a paperback kind of book. The only thing I have against this is I wish the paperback could come out of the hardback so I could read it a little more easily, because the hardback contains this big pouch in the front containing all the personal effects of many of the main characters of the story. I'll give you a very brief summary of the story from what I know so far. I am only halfway through the book. To put it simply, the book is about Zach Taylor. He works at the Brinkvale Psychiatric Institute. They call it The Brink. Very creepy. The way Hutchins describes it is insane. I would not want to go there. So Zach Taylor works in this psychiatric institute as an art therapist. Now, I am not entirely sure what an art therapist does, and the book does not entirely describe what Zach Taylor does, but it gives enough of an idea that you understand who he is, what he does, and what he works for, what he's working with. He's basically taking art materials to these psychiatric patients. They paint things, they mold things, they shape things, they construct things, and somehow, I'm not entirely sure how at this point, because I'm only halfway through the book, but he uses this art to allow his patients to express themselves, and they get things that they need out, and that helps them somehow. And he finds connections and researches things and helps his patients truly release from whatever they're bound by. The beginning of the book, Zach Taylor gets a certain patient that is unlike any other. That's all I want to say about this guy. When you buy the book, you will have the book, which describes a lot about this guy. We'll just call him by his name, Martin Grace. Beyond what you can learn in the book, you have all of Martin Grace's personal effects when he was admitted. You have his driver's license, his credit cards, his insurance cards, an envelope of pictures he was carrying with him when he was admitted or arrested. I'll let you read the book to figure out why. The book itself. J.C. Hutchins, I will tell you directly, you are evil. You are an incredible writer, and I am addicted to this book. I cannot put it down. I force myself to go to bed to stop reading because I want to save this. This is an incredible story. And I believe J.C. Hutchins plus Jordan Weissman figured out what to put into the personal effects, into the pouch in the front of the shrink-wrapped book that you buy in the store. Again, note, do not buy one that is not wrapped. Something may be missing. If you want to buy it, make sure it is shrink-wrapped, because you will have everything you need to understand the story. This is an incredible story by itself. The book is incredible. Hutchins is evil and addicting. Add to the book, once you read it, all the little things. This book features Pixel Vixen. Pixel Vixen is real. Pixel Vixen 707. I'll include the link. She is featured in this book. I believe her website is pixelvixen707.com. Rachel Weber. Rachel, if you are listening to this, then props to you for allowing Hutchins to use your name, because he used it very well. This is what it's meant by transmedia. Read the book. It's incredible. There's certain things in the book. There's phone numbers. Not the 555 numbers, but actual phone numbers that you can call. There's passcodes, websites, addresses even. And if anyone is there in New York listening to this, read the book, go find the addresses, leave me a comment, send me an email, let me know if what is at these addresses. That would be incredible. This is transmedia. It's not fiction. It's not in some fictional world where no one can go. This is a story set in the real world. Not the real world. The capital R-E-A-L world. I will leave a phone number at the end that if even if you don't want to buy the book, if you hate my review and you decide J.C. Hutchins sucks and you don't want to read his book, Personal Effects Dark Art, I will leave a phone number. At the very least, call it. And I swear, you will be hooked. It's incredible. Go to the bookstore. Find this in the sci-fi section. On the cover is... It's printed. It's not an actual post-it. But there's a post-it. It says, please return to Zack Taylor. Call a certain number. I will leave this number at the end and in the show notes. And anyone listening to this, call the number, listen to it, and I guarantee you, you'll be hooked. You will have to buy this book, because you have to know what's going on. This is why J.C. Hutchins is so evil. He drops very subtle clues about what's going on in the story, and you can't help but continue reading. I am halfway through this book. It is... about 300 pages. Halfway through the book, so say 150. Every chapter, the end of every chapter. What chapter am I on now? 13. At the end of every chapter, I go through all the things, the pictures, the licenses, the documents included with this book, and try to fit together what's going on. And some things you can figure out what's going to happen in the next chapter. Some things in the next chapter they throw at you, and it's like, oh my god, I didn't even realize that. And you look through the personal effects, the things included with the book, and you realize that, oh yeah, that might have been actually kind of implied by this picture and this document. And then you go through some more and you find this other document. Who is this? I don't know who this document is about. So you're forced to keep reading. This is an incredible book. Okay, my previous casts, I have said the future of media is free audiobooks. You write a book, you release it for free as a podcast, as Hutchins and Sigler and Lafferty and a few others have done, all of which are incredible books, and the publishing companies come to them offering to publish their books because they have become so popular for free. You release something for free. Someone comes to you offering you money for it. In previous casts, I had consider that as the future of fictional media. That, I will amend, may be a branch of future media. This Transmedia by J.C. Hutchins is incredible. The way he sets it out, the way the book is set up, and the websites, the phone numbers, I do not know how he got all this stuff put together, but it is incredible. All I'm going to say is go buy this book, read it, look through the included items, call the phone numbers, go to the websites. It's incredible. And actually, there is a prequel to Personal Effects Dark Art called Personal Effects Sword of Blood, I think, which is another one of the free audio books. Can be found on J.C. Hutchins' website. I'll include it in the show notes, which I have yet to listen to. But I'm sure, because it is J.C. Hutchins, it is incredible. As was Seventh Son, Obsidian, Personal Effects Dark Art. Everything that he does is incredible. He is an incredible writer. And go find him on Twitter, J.C. Hutchins. I've talked to him. I've emailed him. He's not only an incredible author, an incredible idea builder in these stories, but he's just a very fun, quirky, geeky guy. Go talk to him, see if he'll talk to you, and he's just fun to know. And with that, I'll leave, because I believe I'm at about 35, 40 minutes, plus minus editing. So in summary, we have Rob Coslow, great artist, great composer. I will close with another one of his songs off his Reconstruction album, his third. He made it past his Jinx album. Second, Haunting in Connecticut. Go check it out. Rent it. The unrated version, specifically. Great movie. Great plot twists. Third, Army of Two. Beware. Do not play it online. Play it with someone in the room. Great game. Not good online. Too much lag. Finally, we finish with Personal Effects Dark Art. Great book. Transmedia. J.C. Hutchins. I cannot say enough about this book. Go buy it. Read it. It's incredible. So I will play another Rob Coslow after the song. I have a promo from Brian Rathbone for his new trilogy, The Dawning of Power. It's on Podiobooks.com, iTunes, the Zune Marketplace. Go check it out. Seems to be very incredible. I will be listening to it soon and probably have a review of it in the next couple weeks. Probably next week I will have a review of the Failed Cities monologues of another artist on Jamendo, Mend. And with that, I will bid you all farewell. This has been the comeback episode of the CD Space. This is the CD. This is my space. Thank you for listening, and I will talk to you next week. Thank you.
Echoes of the ancient's power are distant memories, tattered and faded by the passage of eons. But that is about to change. A new dawn has arrived. Latent abilities harbored in mankind's deepest fibers wait to be unleashed. Ancient evils awaken, and old fears ignite the fires of war. In times such as these, ordinary people have the power to save the world or destroy it. Call of the Herald is book one of the Dawning of Power trilogy, a World of Godsland novel written by Brian Rathbone. Now the popular paperback and ebook is available in podiobook form. To download or listen now, visit podiobooks.com.